Amen. We'll go ahead and pray and then jump into this training school lesson for tonight. Dear Yah, we just acknowledge you first, and we glorify you, and we're honored to be in your presence. Right now, we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight. We bless you in advance for that. Always thank you and acknowledge the Son. He is our Lord and Savior, and we appreciate his faithfulness. We want to be just like him. Thank you for your Spirit that you've sent to lead and guide us in all truth and to teach us all things whatsoever has been said. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. I want to discuss on the night the greater works that Christ said that we would do. We'll look at it hopefully and get a real good understanding of what it means when he says greater works. We'll start out in John. We're going to be all over the book of John tonight. We'll start out in John chapter 21. And then we'll move from there. John chapter 21. We'll start at verse 17. Yeah, verse 17. This is after, you know, Peter had denied Christ, and then Christ had asked him after his resurrection, did he love him? And then he said, feed his sheep. Verse 17, from there, it says, he said the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Yahushua said unto him, feed my sheep. Then he goes on and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee, whether thou wouldest not. Verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify Yah, by what death Peter should glorify Yah. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Yahushua loved following. This is John, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Yahushua, Lord, and what shall this man do? Yahushua said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Yahushua said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I tarry, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And it just show you how things can spread. We even see it in this day and time that we live in. You know, a person can make a statement. It can be misunderstood, and before you know it, a whole saying come out of it that has nothing to do with what was truly said. verse 24 says, "This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." Verse 25 is where I want to be. "And there are also many other things which Yehoshua did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Now, when we look at verse 25, if we're not careful, we'll start to think that that Christ did so many miracles that the world, you know, couldn't contain the books written as a little thing as far as the books itself. You know, we start focusing on the books, and it's like, man, he must have did a whole lot of stuff that the Bible didn't talk about, and ain't enough books in the world could contain all the stuff. No. He did a lot of miracles that's not written in the scriptures. And what the scriptures intending for us to understand is that if someone took the time to record all of these things, it would be so much information that it would be difficult to contain. Now, when we look at the word, contain, it says to be in, to pass, enter, to hold, admit. It says literally or figuratively, come, contain, go, have place, can be room to receive. And so that is how we look at it, because we know that in this earth that is created by Yah, we know there's a whole lot of history books. A whole lot of books have been written about a lot of people and about a lot of history and about a lot of things. It's just a lot of information out there. You can Google countless information. So with that understanding, is as I previously mentioned, that it's not just saying it's not enough books to contain the world can't contain all the books that could be written. It's just talking about from a perspective of receiving, comprehending, and discussing, you know, especially when you look at all the things that he did do, that was a lot in itself. And so we understand verse 25 from that perspective, the word contain as being more or less received. Could not receive the books that should be written. And you know how even when you have in today's time frame, people don't believe the things that's written about him now. Can you imagine if all the things had been put in books that he did do? And so that's how we understand verse 25, and we'll move on from there. John 14, we'll look at verse 10, or we'll start at verse 10. This is Christ talking here, and he said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Now, in order to understand verse 10, I have to pull up another verse here, and we'll look at Book of Luke, chapter 22, in order to understand what Christ is saying when he says that the Father's in him and he's in the Father. He dwelleth in, and Father dwelleth in him, and he's in the Father. Luke 22, verse 1, to the left of the screen says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people." Verse 3 now says, Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Now, when we look at verse 3, it says entered. It says entered, arise, come in, into, go in through. Go in through. And we go back a few definition and just look at it. It says purpose. Trying to see if there's something that it may give me here that I would want to use. I really don't see nothing in there. I'd click on the other one. This one I would use. It says used only. Well, it says middle voice of the of a primary verb. That's important. Then it says used only in the presence and in the present and imperfect tenses. The others being supplied by a kindred spirit. You've heard that before. Middle voice. Our middle voice is the spirit of Yah. Okay? The middle voice that entered into Judas in Luke 22 verse 2 was that has that same connotation as the spirit works through us. It is a union. Okay? It is a union. It is a one accord, unity. When Satan entered, there was unity. Thus Satan now, the same way the spirit influences our mind, Satan was now influences the mind of Judas. Thus Satan was in Judas and Judas was in Satan. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust," mental disposition, "that he do, ye do also." Okay? And so, when we deal with verse 3 of Luke 22, it gives us an understanding of how Satan enters. He enters the mental state. And I'm going to pull up that definition again. Here, where it says kindred, middle voice. And so when we look at verse 10 in John 14 to the right of the screen, he said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father?" Kindred. I am in union, fellowship, one accord. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, union, fellowship, one accord. Okay? "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words which I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me," union with me, union in me, kindred with me, the Miller voice. The same way the Spirit speaks to us, Yah speaks to the Son. Okay? Now, I'll get out of Luke and focus on 10 now. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Dwelleth to stay in a given place, state, relation, abide, continue. So when we look at these words here, dwelleth, it confirms the union. In me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Okay? There are some things that we'll find out about us a little bit later on. Christ said, you know, he says 10, believe thou me, but then in verse 11, he says, believe me for the very works' sake. Okay, believe me for the work's sake. Now, and again, we'll understand some things about ourselves as we move through this here. And there are works that confirm that the Father and the Son is also in us. John 16, we'll look at that later on, points out that the Father and the Son sups with us, union with us, fellowship with us, dine with us, however way you want to put it, okay? Now, verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater, it says works, but it's italicized. So, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, we just left John 21. We know that Christ did a lot of things that that wasn't recorded. We also know Christ did some great works. And he was not limited to the works that he was capable of doing. But what he wants us to understand in verse 12, it's not necessarily saying that we're going to do greater things than he, because, you know, I don't know any of us yet walked on water. And so the greater works shows the effectiveness of all of us as believers. Okay? I would never consider myself as having the capability to do anything greater than Christ, but I know that once we come together, we can be more effective because of the numbers. Okay, so we look at the greater works with that in mind, because it's talking to all of us who believe. Okay, now as we look at the greater works. And to confirm that what I said about Christ and his ability to do greater works, John 3, verse 34 says, to the left of the screen, says, for he whom Yah has sent speaketh the words of Yah. For Yah giveth not, for Yah giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. And then it goes on to say, the Father loveth the Son. So this is who he's talking about. The scriptures are talking about. And hath given all things into his hand. So Christ was not limited in works. He was not limited in his ability to do works. So the greater, as far as we're concerned, should be taking what a mindset based in humility, because we know that he had the Spirit without measure, and there is no way that we can compare to him from a greater perspective, a greater facet, because he was not limited at all. Now he's going to point out some things in reference to us too. Okay? And so because there are some things that will apply to us, remember the numbers. We as the body of Christ should do greater things because of the numbers of us who are followers and believers of our Lord. Okay? He had the Spirit without measure. He wasn't limited. He was limitless without measure. He had not the Spirit by measure. That means there was no way it could be measured or looked at or you know, you couldn't put nothing to it in order to be able to determine it. Now I got John 3:30. Okay, and so from understanding that, we'll move to John 16. And we'll start to get some understanding of some things about ourselves now. Because he tells us we'll do greater works. Right? John 16 verse 7. And I'm almost finished, man. Unless I get long-winded here at the end. John 16, and that's possible. John 16 verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, when we look at what Christ is saying here, he tells the disciples that they would do greater works because he go to the Father. And he talks about in verse 7 that it's expedient, it's vitally important for him to go away, because in going away, the Comforter would be sent unto the disciples, or in this case, the believer, who, when we all look at our capabilities, we can do greater works. Verse 8 says, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness." Now, when you look at that word "reprove," you know, a lot of time people associate that with rebuke and things like that. But in this particular passage, it can mean convince, because the world through the Spirit can be convinced, reproved of sin. The world can be convinced of righteousness and of judgment. Then it points out that of sin, because they believe not in me. So since the world believes not in him, then they are convinced, reproved of sin. Then he says of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Okay. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now verse 12 says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Verse 14 says, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 16 now says, a little while, and ye see, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So as we see here, we are promised the Spirit of Truth that shall be sent, verse 7, after our Savior goes to the Father, verse 16. Okay. Now, once this Spirit is sent to us, then there are certain things that that we will have the capability to do in reference to the greater works. And in order to see it, we have to go to John chapter 7 and see how that same Spirit works in each one of us. John 7 we'll look at verse 37. We start there. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Yehoshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Okay. Any that believes on Christ, each one of us who are believers on Christ, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, verse 39 explains what this rivers of living water is. And notice it says rivers. Verse 39 says, but this spake he of the Spirit. So the Spirit is what flows out of our belly, and it's like rivers of living water, limitless. The same way in John 3 and 34, Christ didn't have the Spirit by measure. We also, as believers in him, are not limited. This is why when we come together as a whole, we can accomplish greater works, because there is no limitation. The works that Christ did, he said, you do the same thing, but even greater works you'll do. Okay? Because I have given you the very thing that was in me that caused me to do what I did. That's my proof. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Yehoshua, to the left of the screen, and Yehoshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Yah descending like a dove and lighting up on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. When the Spirit descended down on Christ during this time frame, at that time, Christ had the Spirit that was limitless, without measure. There was no limitations from that point on. And as you go into chapter 4, he has an encounter with the devil. And when you start seeing after that, at that point on, he started doing miracles. because he had the Spirit in him. Okay? Now, we as the children of Yah, the scripture points out, and it's confirmed in the scripture, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly, out of each one of our bellies, shall flow rivers of limitless spirit. Rivers of limitless spirit. We have no limitation. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. Thus, that filling now enables us to function in the overflow of the Spirit. Rivers. What you mean you can't do? How in the world we can't do? And we have the limitless Spirit within us. Why do we walk in limitations? I'll go back. Let's see where I want to go here. Let me try John. Pull up another Bible here. Let me try John 14 and see if it says the one that verse 11 and 12. Let me see. Yeah. John 14, verse 11 and 12, again to the right of the screen. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. We should make believers out of people from the works that come forth out of us by the rivers that flows out of us, the Spirit. Okay. Verse 12, right on the screen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works, the deeds that I do, he shall do also. And greater deeds than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. We now, because of what Christ has done, has gone to the Father, has allowed the Comforter, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, verse 39 to the left of the screen, to dwell in us and flow out of us to accomplish any deeds. We can do all things in Christ who strengtheneth us. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is the anointed one. The anointed. The anointing. We can do all things through the anointed. What have we been anointed with? The Spirit of Truth. The Holy Ghost. He is the process by which we are strengthened to do greater works. And if we can now trust what the scriptures have said and have faith in what the scriptures have said, in reference to what Christ has done and left for and left to be in us, then from this point on, after tonight, I'm going to say it two more times. I felt my help the first time. After tonight, you do greater works. You have the limitless Spirit dwelling in you, and it's ready to flow out of you like rivers of living water. But the problem is, just saw this in the Spirit, the problem is you keep plugging it up with your doubt and unbelief. pull the plug out and throw the plug away. Function in the overflow of the spirit. Quit thinking I could if I had this. Because the Bible says you can do anything because you have the spirit. Where it works. If we're not careful, we'll be like a lamp without being plugged into a socket. That lamp has all the potential to shine, but until it plugs into the source, we can have all the potential in the world. But until we plug into the source and allow that source to flow out of us like rivers of living water, we'll always fall short. Verse 39 to the left of the screen, and I'm done. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Yehoshua was not yet glorified. Is he glorified? Yep. Has it been given? Yep, Acts 2. Given in Acts 2. Acts 1 and 8 says, you receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. That's dunamis, dynamite. You will do dynamic things after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Greater works than these you will do. You will not be limited. Happened in Acts 2. Still happening to this day. Acts chapter 2 was what Joel prophesied. Joel 2. The last days I pour my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream dreams, and your young man shall see vision, old man shall dream. Acts 2 is when it started. What you waiting on? Some people still waiting on Joel chapter 2, and it happened in Acts chapter 2. You 1,000-year behind schedule. You waiting on something that you done already received, and she'll be flowing out of your belly. Limitless. I encourage you all to function in the overflow of the Spirit from this point on. And that same Spirit will teach you all things whatsoever the Father and the Son has decreed. We thank Christ for his wonderful works. All right, y'all got it? Because I'm done for real. Any questions, comments? All right. I'll go ahead and close. Father, y'all, we just bless you for giving us the knowledge to understand even more detail of greater works. We thank you for the the spirit that you've given us and we received, and that spirit is limitless. We thank you for the Savior who has always been obedient to you, Father, and we bless you for him. And we honor him to the highest degree. And we thank you for the spirit that teaches us of him and teaches us of you, so that we can be the believers and the children of the Most High Yah that you've decreed that we should be. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.